This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 26th of June. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, good.
You enjoying the hot weather?
I'm loving it, loving it. We were just saying to Jenny earlier on that I was actually having a swim in the sea this weekend, which is the first.
I heard. Yeah, Captain Ahab was out in his boat, yeah, with his harpoon and everything. Yeah,
yeah. It's not often I get down into the sea in Thanet. But
get back
gorgeous.
In the sea. I've seen that website.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
So no, it's been lovely. I'm sure everyone's enjoying it, and obviously England are having a bit of a run in the football.
Yeah, you missed that though, didn't you?
I did, but I managed to tape it, so I caught up when I got back. But yeah,
cool.
So there's a mood of optimism, isn't there, in the country at the moment? And yeah,
so it won't last long, will it? No. But we might as well make hay when the sun shines
enjoy
and all
it
that.
For now,
yeah,
enjoy
exactly.
It for now.
Exactly.
Now you're going to have to be nice to me today because I think my mum and dad might be listening in today.
Mr. and Mrs. White.
Yeah.
Hello, Mum.
Olive and Peter. So
hello, Olive. Hello, Peter. Thank you for joining us. I will try to control your boy. Yeah, but you know what it's like. You know what it's like. Once he's on the naughty step, he's on the naughty step.
So we need to be on our best behaviour.
Yeah. We.
I think that might mean we've actually got three listeners today.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
I know for a fact that somebody's going to be ringing in later as well from the business show.
We're going to have a bit of an outside broadcast, which is great, and we're looking forward to that from the Grow Kent show over there at Maidstone. And I've got a hot foot it over there from this show because I'm emceeing the Maidstone and Medway Business Awards there tonight.
Black tie event?
It's lounge suit tonight, which is quite nice because it's quite warm.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think I'll just wear a suit and tie and Speedos or something. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Maybe the suit and the tie. I don't know about the rest of it.
Yeah.
But we've also got three other listeners who are joining us in the studio today.
We have. Yeah. Would you like to introduce them?
I'd love to. So we've got Jenny Sanford.
Hi there. Lovely to be here.
Hi, Jenny. And Jenny runs health and safety and environmental consultancy called Sanford Hodges.
Sweet.
We've got Tushar Raja. Tushar?
Hi, good afternoon.
And Tushar runs an LED specialist lighting company in Kent. And we've got Tony Hughes.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And Tony helps people dispose of their confidential waste securely.
Fantastic. And we're going to look forward to talking to all three of these people here.
Brilliant.
And we're going to hear all about them, their businesses and their industries as the show unfolds. So thank you. I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at Operational Accounting Systems. They run a full suite of software programs that help you control the processes of your business and make your people productive.
Bruce was on last week.
And Bruce Kidd, who's the marketing director from Oasis, as they're known, was on the show last week as well, yeah. So huge thank you to them for sponsoring the show this week. We do appreciate it. We have had a number of tweets and emails, which we're going to kind of read out. We do like to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01233 220035. That is Ashford. 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BeBunker. So, Martin, what should we do first?
Well, I think there's going to be a bit of a networking theme today.
There certainly is.
There's certainly a lot going on the networking front. So,
it's interesting you should say that. Because I went and made a TV programme last night with the lovely... Now, I'm sorry if I murder this, because I did ask her how to pronounce this, and she did tell me, and I'm not sure that it stuck properly. But I think it's her first name is Luai Bachelor.
It's Liu.
Liu, that's it. You got it.
Because I spoke to her this week.
Yeah,
as well.
she won your business card thing draw,
she did.
Didn't she?
She did.
Liu.
Yes.
So she
runs the TEDx event in Folkestone.
She runs TEDx in Folkestone, and she has a TV program on Facebook called The Big Ideas Show. And I was a guest on it last night, and we had great fun talking about that. But the reason that I bring that up right now is one, that the program is live on from Sunday afternoon onwards. On Facebook at the Big Ideas Show. But we talked about communication, and we talked a lot about networking and face-to-face communication. So kind of in tune with what you're about to say, so you can carry on now.
Brilliant. Well, our lovely hosts at Kent Space here in Ashford have got a networking event running tomorrow evening, actually. So I think there's going to be an economic update from Ashford, from Ashford Borough Council.
Cool.
Because there's so much going on here at the moment.
There's lots. There's loads of building work going on.
Outlet centre and all sorts of stuff expanding. Yeah. So that's going to be really good fun. There's always a lovely spread as well. So it's an after-hours thing. It starts at 5.30. And Sue and Vicky and the team will be looking after everybody. And then they've got another one happening. So if you want to book onto that, probably best to email Sue at Kent Space or just get in touch with them.
Yeah.
sm@kentspace.co.uk.
Is their email address, or you can follow them on their Twitter, Kent Space.
And then they've got another one on the 19th of July, but this is at their Chatham site.
Have you been to the Chatham site?
I haven't been there either. No, I'd like to. So that's their original site, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to the workshop in Folkestone last night to do this television programme. That was my first visit there as well. Because yesterday I had a co-working space day. Because I was meeting with the lovely Jane, who is looking to open a co-working space in Rye. And then I went to look at opening Fruitworks 2 in Ashford. I went to look at a building, which I'm very keen on doing. And we've also got Yielding, of course, Green Acres, which is now up and ready, and people have started to sign up to occupy. So there's a lot going on the co-working space front.
The one thing that I think everybody is acutely aware of is the shortage of decent office space in the county.
For the type of businesses that are prevalent in the 21st century, which are small and dynamic, and people don't want to sign up to a 10-year lease on a building that's incredibly expensive, when you can move in somewhere, have an all-inclusive bill, and, you know, not be committed to any longer than a month or so.
Tusho, you're based out near Nonnington, aren't you?
Aylsham.
Aylsham. And that whole area is being repurposed as small office units and... It's actually growing quite a lot, isn't it? I mean, I was amazed the last time I went to see you how it's totally changed up there.
Well, it's very dynamic there. And we started off in a very small unit and the opportunity arose for a bigger unit and we just migrated and it was all very seamless. And, you know, we're very happy where we are because there's a lot of networking going on within the neighborhood. So we've got, for instance, electrical contractors on the same row that we work together with.
It's this collaboration, isn't it? A collaboration, community, easy access to office space. And as you say, Tisha, it's absolutely imperative that there's room to grow or shrink. Depending on how business is going. And traditionally, that has been what's been a problem to people. You sign a lease on a building, if it doesn't suit your purposes, what can you do? There's not a lot you can do.
But rural clearly isn't a problem either because, you know, trying to develop a site in Canterbury, you can forget it, for example.
It's all Roman mosaics and medieval walls, isn't it? You can't do anything.
But when you were looking at recently, you sent a tweet out asking people what they thought about having rural office space.
Yielding,
And clearly that's not an issue if you've got a community.
Exactly.
And actually, I guess it's a lot more affordable ultimately as well. So. Yeah.
And it's a lovely place to work. It's a nice environment. And we started mentioning that 2 weeks ago, and we've already had six people that have preliminarily agreed to sign up to move in. So
don't get hung up on the fact that actually it's in a small village in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah absolutely.
That doesn't have any football because that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
The only issue could be internet speed.
Yeah, I mean, where they are, luckily we got fibre to the site, so it's not a problem, yeah. But that's a problem. Anyway. The funny thing is, Fruitworks in Canterbury, okay, there is no Infinity in Canterbury, in the centre of Canterbury. Can you believe that? But as it happens, Fruitworks is 10 yards from the exchange. So conventional ADSL happens to work really quickly because we're just really close to the exchange. But there's no actual fibre in the centre of Canterbury. Ridiculous.
Anyway, you interrupted me.
Did I?
And you went off on a tangent, you normally do.
Did I?
Before I had a chance to talk about the July event at Kent Space.
Go on then.
So there's Kent Space here tomorrow night.
I bet the one in July is in Chatham.
With Ashford Borough Council giving an economic update and there'll be some lovely food and some great company. The second one in July is in Chatham.
Blimey, how did I know?
And it's life after GDPR. So it's...
Okay.
And isn't it nice, actually, life after GDPR? because none of us are getting those ridiculous emails anymore saying, would you like to opt into our email list? Which none of us were replying to.
Exactly.
And so, of course, there is no more email marketing anymore. It's completely vanished.
Yeah, but without getting too controversial, the problem is, last week, the European Union passed the first phase of Article 13. Once they pass that, there's no more of anything. The internet's gone, as far as Europe's concerned. Because they've tried again with a link shutdown so that you can't post a link or a meme. They tried it once before in Spain, and it crashed everybody.
Right. Okay. Well, that's not going to happen then, clearly.
Passed it.
Well, they're going to have to see sense.
Yeah, well, they are, but at the moment they're not.
But I made a joke last week because Tony and Jenny were at a networking event that we put together in conjunction with Jarman's and Brian's Business Networking. I think we're going to hear from Brian at 1:30. And Metro Bank. And I made a joke, you know, how reassuring it was to see so many perfect strangers were still able to get together in a room, having never met before, without fear of prosecution from the ICO, Information Commissioner's Office.
Absolutely.
In other words, there is life after GDPR.
Yeah, did they all opt in?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I've had a tweet about this, but I've actually got an email that's rather longer, and it is a bit long, but it is worth reading out because it's a really interesting thing, this. It says, "Hi, Paul. We're at the Pop-Up Business School. We give local people the tools to change their own world. Our approach is not traditional. We don't bother with business plans, and we don't believe in loans or grants because we know that puts more people off starting than it helps. We are the polar opposite of tired approaches to enterprise support. We offer big opportunities to every member of society, from lone parents to the unemployed, people with disabilities, ex-offenders, and other disadvantaged community members. 30% of the people that come on our course start their business before the end of the workshop, and 27% make their first sale before the end of the workshop. Anyone in Kent who would like to learn new skills, who has a business idea or a fledgling business, can book a place on the course and will take home with them practical advice, training, and a clear plan for going forward. We help potential entrepreneurs, small businesses, and startups across the UK take their business to the next level. Our courses are 100% free for all of our attendees, thanks to funding provided by local councils and the housing associations. The training schedule includes a mix of practical sessions, one-to-one coaching, workshop sessions, and peer support. And the topics include start a business with no money, build a website for free, get to the top of Google, how to find customers on social media, get the confidence to start, tax, company setup, and all the legal stuff, and how to make money doing what you love. We have two events in Kent. One starts on Monday the 2nd of July and will run for 5 days in Dover, and the second one will be 10 days in Maidstone. Date to be announced. You can find out all about this by going to their website, which is popupbusinessschool.co.uk, or you can follow them on the Twitter, which is Pop Up Business.
Brilliant.
So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. That's great, and we look forward to it. It's a shame they only let me know about this a couple of days ago, because I would have loved to have got them on the show before the course, but there was no time to do that. But we will talk to them at some point. They're a national organisation, by the way. But so they're talking about, if these two succeed, they're going to run more in Kent.
But I guess they will also be signposting people towards appropriate grant funding and things like that, because there are some great initiatives out there.
Yeah, they are, but they are talking about bootstrapping, and that's something that's completely overlooked in this day and age. Far too many people want to start off with money. And the reality is, you know, I know that most of us started our business without any money. Yeah, you just have to work hard at it and have a second job or whatever to pay the mortgage. And the thing about that is it gets you running a lot quicker, because you're not living an easy life on money. Yeah. As an angel investor, I've invested in businesses where you give them a lot of money in the business, and then they go out and they buy an Apple Mac and a desk and a leather armchair and a company car, and you go, well, you're going to actually start the business? And they go, no, it's fine. And before you know it, they've run out of money, and they've got no customers yet. So, yeah. Cool. Do you know what now? We're going to play a little bit of tunage. A little bit of tunage just for you, Martin. And then when we come back, hopefully we'll get Brian on the phone. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Florence and the Machine, it must
yeah,
be.
Yeah, this is his choice. Yeah, what do you reckon?
Put it on.
I have. Why isn't it playing? There it is.
Happiness hit her like a train on a track. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 26th of June with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvis Martin White. That was Martin's choice of record of the week.
What a great song.
Florence in the Machine. He actually sat there listening with his headphones on, listening to the whole thing. Yeah, that's how much he was into Florence and the Machine. He normally doesn't do that. So welcome back. We've still got loads of tweets. We've got three great guests to talk to. I'm going to read a couple of tweets now. We've had a tweet from Creative Motion, and they say, "Hi, Business Bunker, bringing brands and businesses to life in Kent, London and across the UK. Proud sponsors of the Business Bunker show. Visit our website, visit their website, visit anybody's website." So basically they're saying visit our website, and that's the Business Bunker show, and visit their website, creativemotion.co.uk. Check it out.
I'm going to stick with my networking theme. I'm on a real quality networking mission at the moment.
Are you?
So our friends at the Marlow Theatre.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sam and Paul.
Yeah.
Have you met Sam? Paul came on the show, didn't he?
Paul's been on the show and I have met Sam.
Sam's lovely.
Yeah.
So they're running a Shrektacular.
Shrektacular. I see what they did there, yeah.
Networking lunch to celebrate their
Princess
new show.
Fiona. Uh-huh.
On the 12th of July, you must watch all that kind of stuff now, I bet, because you've got a young...
What do you mean now?
A young lady
what do you
in
mean
the house,
what do you mean now?
Anyway, it's on the 12th of July. It's a lunch. It's down at the Marlow, obviously, in Canterbury. All of the details are on the Supply My Business website in community. But that... I mean, I went to one of theirs at Dreamland recently, which was an after-hours event. So they're always great networking events, always the kind of businesses that you want to network with on the day. So get yourselves along to that.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I've had a tweet from Samson Gas Limited that just have said hello, really, basically. And that's Danny and the team at Samson Gas. They're heating engineers. What? You look pained.
No, I'm okay.
Can you see?
Yeah.
Your glasses all right? They're working all right?
Yeah.
I had a deal the other day, actually. I bought 5 new pairs of glasses for £10. That's not bad, is it?
That's twice as much as I normally pay for mine.
Is it really? Yeah. You only pay £1 for yours?
Pound lens.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. And you only need the one lens, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I've had Godfather Tailoring, would you believe?
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it? Hey, they say, hello, Vanilla Web. Hello, Business Bunker. I'm a visiting tailor, bringing my 35-plus years' experience to you in the comfort of your own home or office, club or hotel, and I'm offering a choice of hundreds of fabrics and linings and a great garment made just for you to your exact size and shape.
Mm.
Blimey, you could have a whale costume made.
Thank you.
That's all right.
You wouldn't guess that he's been on a diet and lost lots of weight, would you?
Yeah, and no, I'm putting it back on again now, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, when I took you out for lunch the other week in Margate...
It was your fault. You started it.
You had quite a healthy appetite on
your... Let's see, it was your fault. I was doing really well up to then. I'd lost 2 stone, and then he made me go out to lunch. And he said to me, I'm not taking you out to lunch if you're going to eat a load of old nonsense. You've got to eat properly. And then that started me on the slippery slope again. It was pure jealousy, you know, Jenny. It was.
I can't remember the name of it now, but Jenny, you probably know it. It's in the old town in Margate. It's a Caribbean-themed restaurant.
I've heard of it. Is it not Hudson's
or something like that? Brasserie. Anyway, it was great food.
It was fabulous, wasn't it?
We loved it.
Yeah. What did you have?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
You had the jerk chicken, didn't you?
You had the jerk chicken salad.
You had rice and peas.
I had the curry.
You had rice and peas.
Anyway, we digress.
Because he complained that there weren't enough peas.
Terry Botfield has been on.
Hello, Terry.
11th of July, 10 o'clock. Marsh Networking over coffee. Sankport Arms, High Street, New Romney. So Terry's actually got a Facebook page, and also you'll find it on his website, all of this information, Botfield Associates.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's been running that networking group. In fact, that was the first one that you and I went to the launch of.
It was, yeah.
Last year sometime?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Towards the end of last year?
It was.
So it's very successful. He also runs a breakfast down there now on the Marsh as well. But it's the 11th of July and it's networking over coffee. So get yourselves booked onto that and meet some lovely... You also meet a lot of businesses from East Sussex.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry mentioned to me that he was on Tuesday, tonight or last Tuesday, there's a networking meeting in Rye. And I did message him back and ask him if it was one of his or somebody else's, but he hasn't replied yet. So I need to find that out. I've had a tweet from Denise Wilton.
Ooh.
The Mylan Focus. She's been a bit rude to me.
Oh.
Because she said, Vanilla Web, she said, have a brilliant Business Bunker show today. I typed in great show as a GIF and it came up with this. And it's basically Mary Berry saying soggy bottom. Now, that was a problem that I've suffered in this radio studio, but when we were in Dimchurch, because there's no air conditioning. And in the hot weather, I did actually get quite soggy.
Oh, dear. Do we really need to know that, guys?
Yeah. I used to present the show just dressed in micro speedos and a string vest, to be honest.
Try not to visualise any of that. I think it might be just too off-putting.
Do you reckon? And I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Ethel Bray. They say, Business Bunker, please, there's a 20% discount for two or more people on our communication course on the 11th of July at Brands Hatch Place as part of our 20th anniversary celebrations. If you want to know more, email kate@athelbray.co.uk. I'll spell that for you in a minute. Hope you get the fans on the studio to keep you cool and refreshed. Thank you so much. So do email Kate if you want to take her up on her 20% discount offer for their course on communication, and her email address is kate@athelbray.co.uk.
Do you remember Educational Life, who came on?
I do indeed, yeah.
A couple of weeks,
Claire?
I mean, once a month, so it must have been last month.
It must have been last month, mate.
It's been a long time. Anyway, they're offering everybody the opportunity to advertise on the wall of every school in Kent. So they're putting together their annual...
Graffiti.
No, not graffiti. That's a good one, because you were down at Hartstown recently, weren't you?
I was indeed, yeah. I'm going to take my spray can over there.
You probably saw that firsthand.
Yeah, yeah.
But I
knew some of the people they were writing about, actually.
On a serious note, they have a wall planner. It's a giant wall planner that goes up in every school that they have a deal with, a distribution with in Kent. I think they're in 120 schools in East Kent now.
Okay.
So if you want to get your business and your brand in front of key decision makers in schools, it's a brilliant vehicle. And it's from as little as £100.
Wow.
You can actually be on there for a whole year. So if you'd like to know more about that, again, have a look at their offer in our community section on Supply My Business.
Cool, sounds good. Oh, we're waiting for Brian to ring in, and he's a bit behind the curve, but never mind.
Well, he is busy running some networks.
I know he is. I need to tell you about this, but it's not easy to tell you about this on the radio, because if I actually read out what they actually wrote, Ofcom would be down here like a shot and would be shutting me down, okay? So I'm going to try and pick my way through this. We're having a different type of celebration for our first birthday party in July at Dragon Co-working. Along with the normal live music, food and drink, we're holding our first ever failure event at Dragon Co-working. It's called the F-Up Night, okay? And F-Up Nights are a global movement in 70 countries around the world that come together to celebrate and measure business failure. The hope is we all learn from the stories and avoid making the same mistakes. Dragon Co-working holds the license for F-Up events for Medway, and this will be volume one of a series of ongoing events. We have four great speakers: Ash Lawrence, Ben Leach, Bernard Woods and Ross Cowan. And it's taking place, would you believe, on Friday the 13th. In the evening, 5 o'clock, and to find out how to find out more about it, the easiest thing to do is to follow them on the Twitter, and that's at Dragon Co-working.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Yeah,
with a team like that on a day like that,
exactly.
It's all going to run.
They're really pushing the boat there, aren't they? They're really trying it on.
They're chancing their arm a bit, aren't they?
They are, certainly are.
I tell you who I bumped into today down at the Grove Show in Maidstone.
Yeah.
Chris Surridge from Whitefish Market.
Okay.
He was on with us a while back as well, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah.
So Chris is talking about SEO today.
Hold on. Hello, Brian. Sorry to interrupt. Martin was in full flow there when you started to ring, Brian, so I had to interrupt him to answer the phone. How are you?
That's hard to do, I know.
I know, I had to stop him. I was showing, it's like stopping a juggernaut, isn't it? I threw myself in front of him.
You'll need the Thames Barrier to stop him, mate.
Exactly, yeah. So, Brian, thank you for joining us on the show. Brian, you're currently at the Grove Kent event over there at the Great Danes in Maidstone.
I am.
How's it going? You've got a stand. You're on stand 81, I believe.
We are. We're on stand 81 and right in the middle of the show, and we're opposite the networking cafe, which we are hosting today.
Oh, fantastic. So how's it going? Are you doing lots of networking there?
Oh, there is stacks, actually, Paul. There's stacks. There's, you know how these things work. There's various seminars going on. Mm. So you get the little down periods, if you like, where half or three quarters of the inhabitants will disappear off for a cinema, and it's very, very quiet. But then it's nice because you can grab a drink and stuff and chill out and catch up on what you have done.
And then they all descend on you in one big glub, glub. Yep.
That is pretty much it. And then 5 minutes later, you've got a queue of people at your stand and wanting to come and network and be introduced to people. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. Nice day for it, too.
Fantastic.
Brian, it's Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. We were just talking about the event that we ran in Dartford last week. Jenny's here and Tony Hughes is here. A couple of the guys that were with us, obviously, last Thursday evening. I mean, from your point of view, you're running a kind of a live networking event today. What is the key to successful networking, and what are kind of, you know, where do people go wrong when they go networking? Give us your kind of top tips.
Okay, all right. Well, I think one of the things is that they do tend to try and do the jack of all trades, master of none. And what I mean by that is they kind of go and visit a lot of groups in a short space of time. So they might say, yeah, I've been to this one, I've been to that one. And they go and visit 10 or 12 groups once or twice. And that, to me, is almost pointless, because it's a lottery. You're totally in the lap of the gods, and you're not actually building relationships up with people. You're not giving yourself a chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't spread yourself too thin.
Don't spread yourself too thin. I mean, I totally get why people want to kind of suss out the groups, if you like. But a lot of people do that on recommendation, like they do in any business.
Yeah.
If certain groups, certain locations are recommended to people, they're much more likely to go now anyway, and then get plugged into that and start kind of building it and going from there, because it's changed, hasn't it? It's networking and business itself is not transactional these days. It's very much more relationship based.
Right. So don't expect to rock up at a networking event and start selling whatever it is that you do there and then on the day.
No, I think that's a lose-lose situation, because you're going to end up disappointed, because it doesn't happen unless you're just very, very lucky. And you can have the opposite effect by alienating the other people in the room, because you'll just kind of aggravate people by kind of trying to close them within 30 seconds of meeting them. It's scary, and people will avoid those people, actually. So it has the opposite effect.
What networking events would you recommend people attend, Brian?
Ah, well, yes.
That was a setup, wasn't it? Huh?
I wonder. There is a plethora of them out there, but there's one that we're involved with called BBM, which is ultimately a fortnightly business breakfast event. We have those at Dartford every 2 weeks. And just last week, we launched BBM Bromley, which is at Bromley Football Club every 2 weeks.
And that went pretty well, I think. I saw a lot of good feedback about it on Les Twitter.
Thank you. Yes, it did. I'm told that in Bromley there is a huge, huge gap, because there's a kind of certain networking at the top of the tree, if you like, that's lots of rules and ultra commitment and a cash outlay. And then there's lots of casual social type networking at the bottom. And there just isn't anything in the middle. And a lot of people are telling me that what we do absolutely fills that gap, which is why it's captured the imagination, I think.
Absolutely. And I know Jenny, who's sitting opposite me, is coming up to Dartford next week. Jenny, are you looking forward to that drive at 5:30 in the morning?
I won't say I'm looking forward to the drive, but I am looking forward to the networking event. Certainly the event last Thursday was really, really good. I met a lot of really, really interesting people there. Learned a lot from it.
Mm-hmm. Good, cool. Good. So, Brian, thank you for calling in. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. So, your stand is Stand 81, as I said earlier, so people can still visit you there. What time are you there till at Grow Kent?
Yeah, well, the show finishes at 3:30.
Yep.
I suspect there'll be a few people escaping a tad before that. So to make most of it, I would say they've got another hour. So they can come along, they can meet us and meet lots of other people that will be talking, chatting, and we've introduced lots of people to each other today, which is really rewarding.
Yeah, no, that's great. And as you say, there's a big lineup of speakers at the event there today too.
Yes.
And loads of exhibitors. So
one of your guests last week, Bryony,
Bryony Thomas spoke this morning.
I sat in on her marketing.
Yeah, watertight marketing.
It's what's really nice for me is Bryony isn't trying to reinvent the wheel when it comes to what she talks about on a marketing level. She's very successful. She's quite young.
Yeah,
she was very successful very young.
Yeah,
but actually, what she talks about are the basics of marketing.
Yeah, and you can't go far wrong with that.
Well, yeah. Ultimately. So.
Absolutely. Brian, thank you so much for ringing in. We do appreciate it, and we know you've been very busy there. So, as always, thank you, mate, and enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you again soon.
Look forward to it, Paul. Thanks for having me, and have a great rest of the show.
Cheers. Thanks,
Brian.
Cheers, Brian.
And see
Take
you
care.
Thursday, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we, and the fact that, for me, business is all about having conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reality. And you were talking about kind of bootstrapping and knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, face-to-face networking kind of falls into that.
Yeah, absolutely, it does.
If you're not out there talking to people, in other words, if you're a business that's kind of, that sets up, that spends money on expensive marketing and then sits back and waits for the phone to ring, it's not going to happen for you.
Absolutely.
The key, I think, is to find the right networking events where you can tap into the right people that you can have those kinds of conversations with. So it is a little, it can be a little bit hit and miss before you find the right dynamic that works for your business.
Mm.
But the point is, if you're not doing it, don't expect your business to kind of go anywhere.
Yep.
Because that's what it comes down to. It is just about, business is about having conversations.
So. Absolutely. I want to interrupt you there because we're kind of approaching the time when we're going to run out of time if we're not careful. And I want to talk to Tony. I want to talk to somebody interesting and useful. Yeah.
Are you saying Brian isn't interesting and useful?
No, Brian is great. It was you that was the problem.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
So why don't you introduce Tony and get Tony kicked off?
So Tony's company is called Confidential Document Destruction Limited. And what he does is he takes people's and businesses' confidential waste, and that might be employment records, it could be financial records, anything that needs to be disposed of securely, he takes it and he gets rid of it for people.
Yeah, that's very true. We talk about businesses with... most people look at confidential waste as financial stuff. We actually started this business because, you know, my experience in the industry and working in office, so many people print emails and produce day-to-day paperwork that, after GDPR, is confidential information and don't know what to do with it. And I suffered that a lot in my previous life as an MD of a company. So, you know, we offer solutions for day-to-day collection, destruction and certification. I think one of the biggest markets is the home businesses. You know, you talk about, you know, we've picked up lots of different companies that produce, I'm going to say, 20 sacks full of confidential waste that sits at home in the loft. They don't know what to do with it. We offer a great service. We sell the bags to them. They fill the bags up. We come and collect them, shred it, certify it, and it just gives a great service and a lot of peace of mind for people with documents that they have that they know they have to get rid of.
Because I guess there's a paper trail on the back of that. So you've got a certificate that says you have complied with the law and that you have disposed of your waste securely, and therefore there's no comeback on you.
Yeah, it ticks all the boxes under their GDPR policy to say what they've done with it and where it's gone. And the certification to prove that.
Right. I remember a program years ago now talking about how Londoners were really diligent when it came to recycling all their waste. And what was actually happening in a lot of instances was this stuff was going onto barges and being shipped out to Indonesia and going into kind of landfill sites. So, in other words, you know, London boroughs were getting rid of the problem by exporting it to another country that could actually manage that waste more securely. And when it comes to business matters, clearly you can't afford for confidential information to fall into the wrong hands, can you? I mean, anybody could do anything with it.
It's amazing. We was talking to somebody recently. We met them at the local tip, and the guy was disposing of his paperwork through the recycling route at the tip.
Right.
But it was all confidential.
Yeah.
You know, it could be our information that he's putting in the local tip, and you know, you're not allowed to do that.
Right.
He's doing the right thing by recycling, but obviously doing the wrong thing, because anybody can pick that up and look at it and read it, you know, could have anything on it. So obviously the shredding route is the most confidential route to take.
So does your so when you take some waste, so waste paper, for example, documentation, does it still get recycled?
No, they use it to line hamster cages.
Does it? Well, there you are. Or does it get
They do.
They do. If you speak to them, they shred it in the offices and they produce, you know, next to nothing. They use it for hamster stuff and people burn it, you know. But the bigger businesses, yes, it is shredded.
Right. But then it's incinerated or it is recycled?
No, it's definitely not. It goes back in the paper mills.
Right.
You know, shredded paper has a very, very good value at the end of the day. It's a commodity. It's don't matter if it's paper, cardboard, metal, plastic. Mm. It's all a commodity.
So as commercial waste, it's worth money?
We don't tell all our clients that. It's a service. But it adds it makes the front-end service cheaper because it has a back-end value.
Okay.
I mean, most of it's used for newsprint production when you recycle
That's
paper.
Not true.
Oh, is it not anymore?
Do you read a newspaper?
No, not anymore. No, nobody buys a newspaper. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, Elsford paper mill shut down recently because nobody buys it. It's used, goes back into cardboard, makes tissue paper.
Right. Yeah.
The good quality stuff can go back into make white paper.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I know, a thousand years ago, I worked in the paper industry.
Okay.
And back then, most pulp was used to make newsprint. Because the actual paper in newsprint was low quality, so it didn't really matter on the state of it. So they're making cardboard. Sorry, so they're making cardboard with it now.
They make cardboard, make tissue paper, and they can make paper as well. Yeah.
So how has GDPR affected what you do for businesses? Are businesses more aware that they actually need to kind of be tick that compliance box from that point of view as well? Have you found kind of more inquiries on the back of that for your business or not?
You go back to networking and. Yes, it has helped. GDPR has definitely helped, and it's helped on the day-to-day production that people produce confidential documents day-to-day. People didn't realise that. You know, I go into offices and look in the waste paper bins, and they'll have confidential printed-out emails and every people's name. You know, you're trying to educate managers and businesses about what is confidential. Mm. You know, so GDPR has certainly helped.
But it's so much harder. It's like the England game the other day. Did you see? Somebody took a photograph of Steve Holland's board with his England team on it a couple of days before the game. You know, because you can zoom in and see what someone's looking at. So it's getting harder and harder to keep things confidential, isn't it? Especially when people swan around, as you say, they print off emails and leave them laying around and stuff like that.
It's interesting. I think you both mentioned something earlier on about email marketing.
Mm.
And we do some email marketing, but we only email market to email addresses that are info at, inquiries at, you know. That is not personal data.
Mm.
You are entitled to email to that email address.
Yeah.
The amount of emails we get back that says, do you realise you're breaking GDPR? It's as though they're trying to stop businesses doing businesses with each other.
And, you know? And quite frankly, most people don't understand GDPR is the problem.
No. It's all about personal data.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one side of your business. But, you know, so paper and certification and confidential documentation destruction, but there's another side to your business as well, isn't it, which is general kind of waste removal, I think.
Yeah, it's recycling, you know. You mentioned just now about putting it on barges and sending it across the rest of the world. That doesn't go on today, you know. I've been in the waste industry 35 years, and you've seen a huge change through them years. And I started off in the metals industry. If you talk tape, metal was worth, let's say, £200 a tonne back then. It might be worth that today. Paper's worth as more than that. Plastic's worth more than that. You know, so it's just the whole recycling ethos around people and what people do.
Mm.
And it goes back to education. How many schools are teaching recycling nowadays?
Mm.
Probably 1 out of 100. You know, I quite often ask questions at parties, where does your waste go? Most people don't know. Mm. Most people don't care, to be really honest with you. But how much goes back into energy recovery nowadays? How much goes into producing electricity? You know, nearly everything.
I mean, it surprises me. I mean, because I'm really old, I remember the days when you used to buy stuff in glass bottles and then take the bottle back for the shop and get whatever it was, tempence back
on it.
In
Germany, you still do.
Do you?
I mean, it's called Pfand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has a value. So, and that's built into the cost of the product when you buy it.
But when I was a kid, we did that. You know, you'd drink a bottle of lemonade and you'd then go and get the money back on the bottle.
Mm. Well, they're just introducing that with the plastic bottles now, are they? You can have a credit, put it back in the machine, it'll give you a credit.
Right.
So that's going to go full circle and come back in.
Right, okay.
You know,
cool.
For our children.
And a lot of places are saying, bring your own.
All right.
We'll dispense the water, but you have to have your own bottle.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah. Why not? Mm. You know, because we do have, you know, people carry around drinks bottles now, you know, water bottles and stuff like that, and branded water bottles, and you know, people give them away all the time.
But what Tony was saying about how many schools teach recycling, and you think, wouldn't that be the best place to start?
Yeah.
You know, forget the fud duds like you and I.
Yeah.
You know, you need to start with the kids, surely.
Well, I saw on Facebook, drives me nuts because there's just so much rubbish on Facebook. It's unbelievable. And a couple of weeks ago, somebody posted a thing there about creating energy from incineration. And there was a meme about it. And they went, why don't we do things like this in the UK? And I went, we do. And we invented the technology, and the first incinerator for generating electricity was actually built in Birmingham in 1838. And everyone went, oh, well, nobody ever mentioned it. No, it's because you never looked at it before. And it's exactly that, isn't it? We don't talk about it in school or anything like that. And that's astounding, considering how aware most people are of the environment and stuff these days, that we don't talk about it more.
But there are extremes, aren't there? Because, you know, I think sometimes we go too far the other way. I mean, where I live, for example, down in Thanet, where we live, Jenny, there's a biomass plant.
Mm.
And what they do is they burn sustainable wood.
Mm.
But that wood comes all the way down from Scotland on juggernauts on a kind of daily basis to be burnt in Thanet.
Yeah.
And you think, surely that's... That's sustainability and everything just gone mad.
They haven't gone joined up yet.
And in fact, actually, a lot of that wood comes from Canada because there's not enough wood in Scotland either to sustain those kind of biomass plants. So, I don't know. Tony, what's your view on kind of where we're going with all of this?
Over the last probably 5 to 8 years, UK have exported, I don't know, anywhere between 3 and 5 million tonnes to Europe because their incineration capacity out there has been huge and they've looked for volume.
Germany, I think,
Germany, Sweden, Holland, all the big countries. But they also use it, the Swedish countries, Denmark, use it for the heat as well.
Right.
So they also heat a community. Mm. That's gradually changing now because the UK are building more incineration. So we've got a power generation. So that's going to flip again. And the wood market's changing, you know. There's so many incinerators being built around to generate power from wood.
Yes.
Mm. That's all changing as well. It's the right thing. It's interesting you say education, because if you look at a power plant, the technology in one of those plants is immense.
Mm.
How many children are being educated to come out of school and go to university and be able to run one of these plants? Because they run 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
How many people does it need to run one of them plants?
Yeah. Sure. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because we all drive past our recycling centres and everything, and we all think, you know, whenever we go to the tip, you know, green waste is separated from any other waste, and we all think, you know, what a chore it is. But actually, we shouldn't be looking at it like that at all.
There's also, I don't want to go off on a rant again, but there's also so much NIMBYism as well. Yeah. You know, you try and do anything, and everybody goes, oh, I don't want one of that in my area. Well, where are you going to get your electricity from? How are you going to recycle anything if you don't want it near you? You know, it's just crazy.
We've got a massive wind farm, haven't we, off the coast? Where
I heard, yeah.
It's crazy the number of people, though, that are so against it.
The view.
But I'm just like, well, what would you prefer?
Yeah.
A big coal-fired power station in your back garden?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have it all.
Yeah, exactly. But you've got to have something.
Exactly.
And that's the point. Everybody goes, no, well, I don't want that. And you go, okay, well, don't use electricity then. That's the answer to that. Yeah. You know, go back to candles and you're fine.
It's really good that Jenny's here as well, because you look at things, you look at businesses from an environmental impact point of view as well, don't you? So,
yes, and there's certainly a lot to be said for correct waste management and looking at your waste streams, because you can actually save an awful lot of money by segregating your waste. Mm. Certainly if you are dealing with any kind of hazardous waste, segregating that from the rest of it makes very good sense. I have been into businesses where they've kind of bunged it all in together and they're then informed that, well, now it's all hazardous. Even the bits that weren't hazardous when you started are now hazardous. And obviously there's a cost to that. There's always a cost to that. If you can look at your waste streams, look at where you can reuse, and certainly if you look at the waste hierarchy, you know, really we should be looking to reduce first, then reuse and then recycle. There are huge opportunities. Mm-hmm. And even just looking at your processes within your business, like what are some of the outputs that you get that are not useful to your business, are essentially a waste stream, but could be sold on to another business and would be useful for another business.
And Tony, you can help businesses in identifying the value, the commercial value in what they've got as a waste product, potentially.
And they're all commodities. It's interesting, Paul, you mentioned something just now, education and NIMBYism. I know the incinerator at Allington, what comes out of that chimney is far cleaner than what comes off the M4 every day.
Yeah.
But people don't know that.
No, exactly.
They just don't want it near their homes.
It's like whenever the media want to tell you about pollution, they show you a cooling stack with steam coming out of it, and they go, look at that. It's just water vapour. It's just a picture of water vapour. It's the most inert substance it could possibly be, but it just looks bad, yeah? So you're absolutely right. Tony, I may have missed it because I had to dash out when you first started talking. But as well as document destruction, do you do any other kind of removal of sensitive data on any other medium?
IT.
Yeah.
We do a lot of computer.
Right.
Shredding, destruction, and hard drives.
Right.
People are amazed how many computers get thrown in the tip.
Yeah.
That have still got the hard drive in them.
Exactly.
Contains all the personal data.
And people think that just by pressing delete on a hard drive that that's done it, it hasn't.
It's all on the hard drive.
Yeah.
So we degauss the hard drives and we have them shredded down to 15 mil.
Okay.
And is that certified?
It's all certified,
So just briefly, Tony, if you don't mind, you haven't covered this already, have you?
Well, this particular IT stuff, no.
No, okay. So if you don't mind, just step us through the process of how that works. So basically, you've got a hard drive.
Yeah.
What do you do to it first?
We degauss it. It gets put into a machine, and that wipes it. That deletes all the information.
So, you basically take the whole magnetic properties of the disk away.
And that's a certified process.
Right.
And then just to confirm, it's then shredded down to 15 mil or below.
And how do you do that? With a big sledgehammer or?
Through a specialised shredding machine.
Yeah, right, okay.
A high-power machine.
Yeah.
Because they're extremely hard to shred.
Yeah, that's, you know.
But still a lot of value in them in the commodities, aluminium, stainless, copper.
Right. So once you've shredded that, do you separate the metals in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because again, it goes back into the recycling, back into the different streams.
Yeah, right. Cool.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
I mean, it's cool.
I think we take it for granted, and for a lot of people, it's just a nuisance. I mean, Jenny, where we live, it took us years to get black and blue bins.
Mm.
I mean, everything was going into landfill down in Thanet for... Mm. And people have been recycling for years before that elsewhere, but for some reason it took us that much longer.
Well, the news doesn't filter through out there, does it?
Well, it does make you wonder sometimes.
Sometimes.
It does make you wonder. So it's a fascinating area, isn't it?
I mean, it is.
It really is. And as you say, we should be educating kids from an early age as to, you know, their responsibilities.
Yeah, it's still our responsibility as adults. To teach the children.
To do that,
exactly.
At home, if we're not doing it as adults at home, then why should the children do it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
My biggest bugbear at the moment, I'll tell you, is my sardine tins.
Sardine tins.
Because like most people, I probably have a recycling bin in my kitchen.
Right.
And I do like tin sardines. But,
right.
But they're a devil to wash out. And if you don't wash them out, they smell.
Right.
So, you know, you're being charged water by, you know, on a meter... They expect you to kind of wash your fish tins out. If you don't wash them out, it stinks to high heaven. If you do wash them out, your water bill goes through the roof. It can be a bit of a conundrum at times.
Use the dirty washing up water you wash dishes up with at the end.
There you go.
Yeah.
What a great tip.
Or eat fresh sardines. Why buy them in a tin? Huh? What's the matter with him? Don't they have sardine boats in Thanet? Don't they land fresh sardines in Ramsgate? Do they not?
Skipjack tuna out of business there, haven't you?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't eat tuna out of a fish, mate. I go down the sea and catch my own tuna.
Do you? Oh, really?
Yeah, as they come past, I'll grab one.
Anyway.
Do you tickle their bellies first?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bit of tuna tickling.
You've opened our eyes and our minds, I think, Tony. You really have. It's a fascinating subject.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to rope Tony into coming along to one of our 30-30 events in schools. And just talk briefly about the recycling business to students.
Yeah.
Both as a thing in itself and as a potential career, because that kind of thing people don't think about enough.
No,
yeah, absolutely.
Not. Now, pre-GDPR, Tony was running a brilliant offer with us,
right?
Whereby, free of charge, he would go into businesses,
yeah,
and actually take all, if they were having a clear out, pre-GDPR, and take all their stuff away, free of charge. What have you replaced that with as a kind of an offer at the moment, Tony? What are you, what's your kind of, your call to action, your hook to get people to pick up the phone and talk to you?
Well, we offer the consoles, the waste bags, and we offer a discount through people we know and members of the website, Supply My Business. We also offer an office clearance. I think the biggest one at the moment is office clearance, where lots of IT stuff sits, lots of confidential documents sit, and it's all just sitting there. So we're offering a 25% discount for all office clearance, and again, all certified and all recycled.
Fantastic. Give us a quick shout out for your website and then we're going to join the newsroom.
It's www.confidentialdocumentdestruction.org.uk.
Fantastic. That link is on the Kent Business Radio website. It will stay on the website forever, so you can always find it there. For the moment, Tony Hughes of Confidential Document Destruction, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We'll talk to you some more after we've heard the news from the Channel Radio newsroom, don't you think?
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
The government is saying it will have to increase spending on the country's defences if it's to keep up with the US. MPs are reportedly asking for a budget of £60 billion a year. The Commons Defence Committee